Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast as we roll into the week that leads up to trade deadline. I am the host of the show, Brad Brew, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars. And Blake, we are 6 days, 16 hours from deadline. And it'll be interesting to see how this deadline works out this year, because there's a lot of complicated things in this deadline that it'll be interesting to see how the general managers are able to finagle this money. Major League Baseball is out of hibernation. Can you fill us in on that whole thing? And I heard this, and this is the reason I brought it up on the show, is it said that baseball's going to be better for the fans. So did they change some things?
They expanded playoffs. Two more teams in the playoffs. They got rid of seven-inning doubleheaders, which is great. They got rid of a ghost runner on second, which is great. They're able to play 162 games, which is good. There was one point.
Why don't they play like 75 games or 80 games like hockey?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because they want to have the show all summer long. I'm not sure.
It's
one of the few sports that are in the summer, I guess. So they get all the, they get all the fans for that. But, 99-day lockout's over. And my favorite team is linked to some big free agents, so that's always nice. But
but they don't want to go to Canada, so.
Freddie Freeman, he's from Canada. He might go. Who knows?
Well, I would say that would be your best bet. A Canadian would be a logical bet, I mean.
I don't know. I'm happy that baseball's back, because I was starting to worry there a little bit that they weren't going to come to an agreement. But here we are.
When does spring training start?
Started yesterday.
The only thing I like about spring training is the fact that when I turn it on, the weather looks so wonderful. It makes me know that spring is coming.
Well, yeah, they're down in, Arizona, Florida?
Yeah.
Two markets that are hot all the time.
Except for last week, Florida was got down to 32 degrees yesterday morning. When the golfers teed off in Florida yesterday, it was 34 degrees.
Oh, the players' tournament.
Yeah. So yeah, Florida
wind,
can get shitty.
It's just interesting because, literally half the league doesn't have a contract right now. Player-wise. And it's I think they open up in 25 days. It's this is going to be a whole sprint here. So it'll be interesting to see if the injuries go up this year because of, rush spring training and not a full proper spring training. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. But
I doubt it.
Yeah. I'm just happy that baseball is back because
I think it's good. I think we need all sports, don't we? I think we need them. I mean, I'm not the hugest baseball guy, but we need all sports back. We just do.
Yeah.
It's healthy. So I got another question for you. So the NFL suspended Calvin Ridley for the entire year for betting on his team, which I agree. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But Ray Rice beats his fiance, gets 2 games. Adrian Peterson has felony child abuse, gets 6 games. Greg Harding beats his girlfriend, gets 10 games, but gets reduced to 4. Ezekiel Elliott hits a woman, gets 6 games. Josh Gordon gets 6 seasons for smoking weed. I'm confused.
Yeah, I originally thought this too, and then I looked, you got to take the schedule into
no, I'm good that he got a year, but I'm more worried about the other ones where
you beat
a woman.
Yeah, I'm not saying that their policy is great, but you gotta think six out of 17 back then. That's quite a bit
for felony child abuse. You should be out of the league.
That's what almost half a season, though. Think about it.
Felony child abuse, you should be out of the league.
Yeah, I understand that. I didn't say the policy was good.
The policy's bullshit. That a guy gets more...
No sport is perfect with their flaws.
I'm not saying that
every,
at all.
Every sport has flaws.
I'm not saying that every sport doesn't have their flaws, but when this sport looks at betting, and I think betting's wrong. If you're playing the sport, you stay the hell away from
betting.
Well,
yeah, but like...
But when you find
when
a guy...
Starting, I don't know.
When you suspend a guy three times as much as another guy, when one guy beat his child or beat his girlfriend and the other guy...
I'm not saying it's right, but like... When you start attacking the integrity of the game, that's where.
So
obviously beating your wife is serious stuff.
Let me ask you this question: if you get charged tomorrow with child abuse, a felony child abuse, you get that tomorrow, you're out of a job, right?
Yeah.
And you're gonna have a hell of a time finding another job, right?
Most likely.
Yeah, unless you're a pro football player. You know what I did this weekend? I did something that I never thought I would do.
Golf?
No, it's too cold. There's about 4 feet of snow on the ground. I watched high school girls and boys basketball tournament. And I'm not a basketball guy. I'm a 100% hockey guy. But I watched the championships. Semifinals and championships were both boys and girls. And I realized something and I learned something. I learned that if the NBA players worked as hard as these high school players do on playing defense and playing a complete game, the NBA would be the most popular sport in America. Hands down. Because I watched these games and I couldn't believe how amazing it was. I mean, it was cool because my hometown won both the boys and girls state championship, two championships in one night, so that was really cool. But just the fact of them, I mean, the Minot team had two eighth grade girls starting, going up against five or four juniors and a senior on the Bismarck team, and the eighth grade girls won.
Yeah, it's when cool. when I was there, I didn't realize like how popular like State B was.
Yeah.
Like it's packed.
I'm this was
like,
State A, but yes,
I'm great. I'm like what? Like it was packed. I'm like what is going on at the gym today? Like it's like there's so many cars here.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in there, and they got the extended seats out. It's packed to the roof. I'm just like, holy shit.
Yep.
What is going on here? It is wild.
Yep, it was entertaining as can be. Keeping another local aspect, congratulations to the U.S. Paralympic sled hockey team as they beat Canada 5-0. A friend of mine coaches. I have two friends. That one is a head coach. One is an assistant coach. The assistant coach I played men's league hockey with, and the head coach I did some hunting with years ago. But congratulations to the U.S. in winning gold on that one. And Blake, where are you at on Love is Blind? Did you watch the whole damn thing?
Yeah, I finished it. Did you?
No, I'm three episodes in.
Not feeling it, eh?
I don't know. I'm watching it, mostly because you told me to. But and I don't mind it, you know? But,
right.
Like, the fact that these people actually are doing this is disturbing.
Yeah, there's some points in the show where it's like, yeah, this is like very staged, but I don't know. It was all right.
Cheap entertainment, right?
Yeah.
Today's show, we're talking about the NHL trade deadline, talking about the targets, who we think's getting moved, and where we think they're getting moved. We'll talk about Shesterkin as he continues to dominate the Nets in the National Hockey League, and we'll go around the NHL talk. Reverse retros, re-signs, Eichel's return to Buffalo, and the Matthews cross-check in a late trade with the Colorado Avalanche.
There.
All right, it's time to talk NHL trade deadline, and let's talk about who's going to go where and, yeah, what we think is going to happen on deadline, as it is just a week from today. We will be doing a show next Monday night as a live show that we will talk about and wrap up everything that happened on the deadline. Let's take a look at the big fish, and let's see where we think they're going to end up going. Jacob Chychrun, an injury, and that's one of the things that is going to create some disturbance here. He looks like he's going to be out for a few weeks, and I wonder how much that will affect his trade status. Do you think he still gets moved?
Yeah. I don't think they'll take that his value much. He's on a good contract, good defenseman. I think lots of teams will be after him.
Where do you think his potential landing spot will be? Why should I ask this question? You've been saying LA Kings from the beginning.
Yeah, Kings, Oilers.
He's not going to Edmonton.
Maybe Florida.
Why did you say Edmonton?
Maybe Florida swings a deal.
How? They have no cap.
Oh, what creates them?
How?
They've been in the market for a D-man or a forward. So
let me throw this one out there to you. Can you, without turning cap friendly on, don't turn cap friendly. I got a question for you.
Too late.
Okay, well, turn it off quick.
Okay, that's off.
How many teams have players on long-term IR?
Oh, shit. Colorado just opened up 7 mil. Probably half the league.
16 teams.
Pretty clever. Yeah, I was right on the money.
That's crazy to me.
I don't know if you're legit, though. Or
that's what I'm saying. This is something the league needs to look into.
Yep.
And I'm not saying all of them are. I mean, I honestly believe 80, 90% of them are probably legit. But
the Canucks got Ferland, Sutter. Who else is on their LTIR?
Ferland's probably legit. Sutter, I don't know.
I mean, probably.
I mean, Ferland's legit.
Never going to play another game.
No. I don't know. I can't remember what happened to Sutter. I just think they got tired of him in Vancouver.
He signed a one-year contract extension this year, and then he has this long-term COVID thing. He hasn't played all year.
Oh, really? So, okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Jeff Petrie, another defenseman that's talked about, 34-year-old, playing in Montreal, very vocal about getting out of Montreal. Do you think he gets moved?
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's getting up there in age. He's got 3 years left at, what, 6.25?
That seems like a lot for someone to take on.
It does, but like if Montreal is willing to eat some of that, which I don't know, they are. They might be able to get some value for him.
I think they're willing to eat on Sherratt because it's 1 year, but they're not. Highly doubt what they would eat on Petrie.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of teams that would be in the market for a D-man. Like,
well, there's a whole bunch of teams in the market for a D-man, but not at that price.
But like that can trade for him. Just going up and down the list here, like I really don't.
Where,
I don't see him fitting anywhere.
I struggle, too. I don't know. I think that Chychrun will go. I'm just jumping back to him. I think
Florida has $3 million in cap space for the deadline.
I would say Chychrun is going to go Florida or L.A. If I had to bet.
You literally just asked me how they can fit in Florida.
I don't know how. I don't know how any of these general managers are going to do this.
Well,
year.
Think about it, Brad. Like, you trade for a guy at this stage, you're getting you're taking on the prorated, so it's not that much. But I mean, you take a guy with a $3 million cap hit, you're really only taking on maybe $1.1 million the rest of the year. You know what I mean? Like.
No, but it counts full cap against the thing.
Yeah, I know, but like you're paying a prorated salary, though.
You're paying it, but it still counts against the cap, though.
Yeah.
So, yes, you pay less money, but it still counts against the cap hit. You have to have that cap hit below.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the part that's going to get tricky. And I look at a guy like you know.
Well, I think Patrick Hornquist goes the other way. Like, I think he's going to get moved potentially to free up some space.
You know, I how do you do that though? Because he is so critical to what they're going to do in the playoffs.
Critical, but I mean, he's kind of holding them back to really getting better at the deadline. He's making 5.3. So if they can try and shed his salary,
why would Arizona do that? So what would be the upside?
Just be him, but
I know, but there would have to be a package of prospects to make taking him worth it, right?
Maybe they take.
I mean, that's the thing.
I'm just
sort of. Could Owen Tippett go the other way?
What's that?
So does an Owen Tippett go the other way?
Oh yeah, he would be in a deal for sure.
You know. Does Mark Giordano get moved?
Not if it's what Seattle's won. If it's the first-round pick, I don't think they get it.
I don't think you get a first-round pick for Mark Giordano, and I love the guy, but I don't think you get a first-round pick.
And I think everybody's saying, oh, he's got to go back to Calgary. I honestly think that Calgary's kind of closed the chapter on that book. Like, I don't think...
I'll be pissed if he goes back to Calgary.
You would?
Yeah.
Why?
We don't need to spend more money on Mark Giordano, and we did everything to get past that situation, and our defense is one of the best in the league right now.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I just don't see that happening.
Why? Why would you bring that back into the mix?
Yeah. Maybe.
I heard the only places he'll go are Calgary and Toronto.
Calgary or Toronto. Yeah, saw that too.
Toronto can't do that. Toronto's going to be, with Campbell injured, they're going to be so trying to swing for the fences on goalies, it's not even funny.
Toronto might have to overpay for Fleury.
They don't have any money to overpay.
No, like, they're going to have to figure out something, because that team right now is an absolute disaster in net.
But what if Fleury just won't go? Would you?
You're gonna have to try your best to try and convince that guy to wave to go to Toronto, because it ain't working. It ain't working. Mrazek is at the train wreck. Campbell's out another week and a half.
Yeah, but you put your faith in Campbell. Is a goalie ever?
We already said from the start that we didn't like that.
Yeah.
They just gave Anderson to Carolina. So.
But the thing is, like, okay, let me just say, like, if you're a young goalie, right? And last year they're like, yes, we put our 3 years ago or 4 years ago, yes, we put our trust in you, Frederick Anderson. And then they kicked him to the curb right away when he didn't play that badly. And now they've got Campbell. We put our faith in Campbell, and now they've kicked him to the curb right away. Like, if you're a young goalie, that's good. I'm gonna be like,
graveyard is what it is.
I'm freaking not going to Toronto for shit. You can give me $3 million more a year. I'm not going. I mean, seriously,
Fleury would make them a way better team. You just gotta commit to.
But you still are giving up way too many opportunities.
But also, Campbell's save percentage is like .860 since the All-Star break. It's been bad.
Okay,
they're not getting saves right now. Like, they're losing a lot of games because of their goaltending. And that at the bottom, when it comes to the bottom line, you need saves to win games, and they're just not getting any.
But they
right
didn't
now.
Address this appropriately in the beginning. They're the same as Edmonton. They're the same.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Edmonton's probably better off in net.
Edmonton?
Yes.
Campbell? No, I'd probably have Campbell over Koskinen.
Well, I'm going to read a stat to you here.
Yeah, are you going to talk about Koskinen? Because I'm tired of hearing that shit.
Koskinen's 9-1-2 in his last 12 starts with a .927.
Yeah, no, he's been good lately.
But the fans
keyword,
just...
Keyword lately.
Yeah. But you kind of made your bed, didn't you, Edmonton? Didn't you, Toronto?
Yeah.
You know, that's the part that's so crazy. Let's get back to defense. We got sidetracked here. Hampus Lindholm, I think he gets moved, don't you?
Yep. He's a UFA. They just moved Manson, so they're kind of...
Let's talk about that Manson move.
I don't know. They got a second and a prospect for him, and they ate half his salary.
Yeah,
really good pickup for Colorado, for sure.
Yeah, that's going to make Colorado a lot tougher on the back end, that's for sure. I look at Hampus Lindholm, and I think 31 other teams would want him. Right now, how do you afford this right now? That's the problem that's so much is, like, how do you afford this?
And he's a pending UFA, too, so, again, they might eat cap.
They probably would on this one, I would think.
Again, so if they retain, like, $2.5-3 million on his contract, it's a lot easier to trade, and you get way more value for him. So if they bring that into the equation, there'll be half a dozen playoff teams that will be lining up.
Ben Chiarot, does he get moved?
Ben Chiarot will, and I still think Ben Chiarot's getting a first. Like, I think somebody is going to pay a first for Ben Chiarot because of what he brings to the table in the playoffs. He's so physical in the playoffs. He's the guy that you, type of player that you win a Stanley Cup with, because, I mean, look at Montreal's defense last year and just how they just bullied Toronto, right? They go down 3-1 and they just start beating the shit out of Toronto, and Weber and Chiarot and Edmondson and Petrie, they're all like 6'3", 6'4".
So what teams that are playoff contenders or cup contenders, you'd say?
Toronto should be all over that.
Toronto should be all over a whole bunch of things, but they
Toronto
don't have any
money.
Toronto
should be all over Ben Chiarot. And I would trade a first for Ben Chiarot. I would. Toronto lacks so much toughness, and you put him on the back end, yeah, that's what they need. They need Chiarot.
They have $91,000 to do it.
Yeah. You're going to have to get creative. Dubas is analytics. Let's see if that comes into play here. Is a cap genius. We'll see. Yeah,
he's going to have to freaking rob a bank or something. I don't know. John Klingberg, does Dallas keep him?
I'm not sure. Like, he's on a pending UFA. Dallas is a tricky team because aren't they not in a playoff spot right now?
I think they're like right at that border. Yeah, they're a team. I just don't know, man. I don't know what's gonna happen in Dallas.
I haven't figured out. I like that they extended Pavelski though. That was a good deal.
Yeah,
it's a good signing.
Columbus.
I'm leaning that they're gonna hang on to him.
There's been a lot of injuries that are going to play roles in this deadline, too. As Ryan Getzlaff and Silverberg go down in Anaheim. Voracek and Laine in Columbus. Chychrun's hurt. We talked about that. Varlamov. Edmonton wanted...
Doughty and Brown just went down for the Kings.
And then Gabriel Landeskog went down. Knee surgery. He goes on long-term IR. Samuel Girard's out. I mean, there's a lot of key...
We're going to talk about Colorado in one of my questions, but like that, they have a lot of very unique possibilities that could happen. Like, they want to go out and get a trade for a Patrick Laine, or trade for a Giroux, or trade for a JT Miller. They have a lot of possibilities. They have a really good farm system, and now it'll be interesting to see what happens in Colorado.
I know, but then I also wonder, you know, if you make too many moves, what does that do to the room, too?
Yeah, like, well, did we talk about it last week where they're sniffing around Patrick Kane?
Yeah, we talked about that on the show last week, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be something.
That would be something.
I don't know.
Now they have more than enough cap space.
So you mentioned Giroux, and I do feel like his most likely landing spot is either Colorado or St. Louis. It'll be interesting to see how that one works out. JT Miller and Brock Besser and Connor Garland, are they not being moved? Or where are we at on Vancouver?
Well, they're hanging in there. They're 3 points out. Tough loss last night to Tampa. They got four more games left on the seven-game homestand. They probably need to go 3-1 to have a chance. They play the Devils tomorrow. That's a winnable game. They play Buffalo. But it's really going to come down to their last three games against the Golden Knights. I mean, those are going to be what decides if they're in the playoffs or not, most likely. But they're not trading JT Miller unless they get an incredible offer. I just don't know how you can trade the guy right now. Besser, same way. You're not going to get full value with him unless you sign him to an extension and trade him, because nobody's giving that man a $7.5 million qualifying offer. So, Garland, I wouldn't trade him. He's 26 years old, cost controlled contract. I wouldn't trade a guy like that. He's on a good contract for 5 years, and in the prime of his career, they're interested in John Moreno, which would be good. Canucks need a right-handed defenseman, but if it's gonna cost Besser, I might do it. But Garland and plus, I don't know. It's hard to say.
I would do it.
Tough. I don't know.
You guys need defense, though.
They're interested in Moreno and that Evan Rodriguez guy.
Yeah, I don't know if you're getting him.
Yeah.
Thomas Hertl, lots of talk about Thomas Hertl going into this deadline, and he's a guy I just don't think gets moved.
You don't think so, eh?
No, I think he re-signs in San Jose. I do.
That's another guy that I think Colorado would look at, or St. Louis, maybe, if they could get something done there. But I think he'd be a really good fit on Colorado. Like, I think if they got Hertl, it'd be pretty scary.
Yeah, for sure it would be scary. You look at...
I don't know if he's going to extend there, though. Not sure.
I do. I just feel like he's going to... Phil Kessel, does anybody take a shot at Phil Kessel?
He's got 1 year left, right?
No, he's pending UFA, I believe.
He is?
Yeah.
Somebody might. And Arizona will be willing to eat salary, I'm sure.
I would think so.
So his salary is getting eaten by Pittsburgh and Toronto at the moment. So his cap hit, I think, is $4 million. I think.
Oof.
$4 million. So if Arizona eats half of that, you're bringing in $2 million bucks.
I don't like his style. I can't imagine him bringing it into him.
Okay,
into
but
the locker room.
In the playoffs, he's pretty good for Pittsburgh, no?
5 years ago, yeah.
Probably their best forward.
5 years ago.
I don't know. It's like...
It's 5 years ago.
He's
Mark
still
Giordano won the Norris 3 years ago.
He's still a pretty good goal scorer, though. Like, he can still shoot the puck.
I know, but he's fat.
Yeah.
He's got to get to the puck, right? This league is speed. And I don't know if you watch some of the games lately that have been between contenders. They are fast-paced games, man. Fast-paced games.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Kessel's not going to cut it in a freaking Calgary-Colorado series. He's not going to cut it in a Rangers, Florida series. He's not cutting it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Max Domi.
He might rip a couple pucks home on the power play, though, for you.
Perfect. I can find another guy to do that. Max Domi, does anybody take a shot at this guy?
I don't think so.
He's a healthy scratch, and Tortorella's not even there.
Yeah.
Unreal. Andrew Kopp is a guy that I just can't quit thinking about. And I know he got injured last night. I don't know how bad it was. I know it didn't sound real good. 3.64. This guy would be so good on so many teams. He'd be such a game changer on so many teams.
I said last week, you said it. No?
You were cutting out on me. What was that?
I said last week, I said trade him, and then you said you'd extend him. Like, what?
I would if I was Winnipeg. I'd try as hell to extend him. But I don't know if he wants to re-sign there. And if he doesn't want to re-sign there, then you got to get something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I was Winnipeg, I'd do everything to re-sign him. But if he doesn't want to play for you, then I better get some assets for him. And now is when the getting's good. And I think they can get a lot of pieces for this guy.
Did you see the report that came out today that Josh Manson wasn't open to waive his no-trade clause to Toronto?
Does that surprise you?
Nope, doesn't surprise me at all. Colorado or Toronto?
Exactly.
Not a very hard decision there.
No. Not hard at all, is it?
No.
Goaltenders. Do any goalies get moved? There's so many teams that want them. But I don't know. I don't think that Marc-Andre Fleury goes anywhere. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I don't. I don't think he goes anywhere.
Gorgiev could go. I don't think anybody would take him.
Korpisalo to me is the most likely guy to go.
Yeah, that's probably it, yeah. Maybe, what's that guy's name? Anton Forsberg from Ottawa. Somebody might pick him
up. But I thought about that, and I'm like...
He's been pretty good.
Yeah, but why would you trade him?
Because he's a UFA.
So re-sign him.
They can re-sign him in the summer if they want to.
I mean,
that happens.
Do you know who I think is a guy that gets picked up? Craig Anderson in Buffalo.
Think so?
Think about that. What a security blanket he is.
Yeah, he's been pretty good.
Well, I mean, and he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a calm factor. I just think he would be helpful to a lot of teams.
Well, Jaro Halak, he has been brutal.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody goes after him. And I love that signing. When Vancouver signed him, I thought it was great.
So did I. And this man has just done nothing but let goals in. I don't know. He's got the worst save percentage for goal defenders that have played in over 10 games.
He has a no-move clause either, so he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be crazy. Do you think the deadline day will be a busy day?
I don't. I used to think the trade deadline's wild when I was a kid, and as I've gotten older, my expectations get lower and lower every year.
What team do you think will be the busiest team?
That's one of my questions.
Hey, well, then let's skip it. Let's skip that. We'll answer that later in the show.
Yeah.
What team is facing the most pressure on this deadline?
That's one of my questions.
Okay, well, then I'll
leave it. Seriously.
Okay, well, what do you just, did you copy my notes, or are you just...
No, how can I copy your notes? I didn't see it.
I know, I don't know. Plus, you've probably been sleeping, right?
Yeah, I haven't caught much sleep.
Let's talk more about goaltenders. Let's talk about Shesterkin in New York and how amazing this guy has been. Last week, he was the third star of the week. Went 3-0-0, 1.67, 0.955. He's the backbone of this team.
You want to know an interesting fact?
Yeah, sure.
Jack Campbell was an all-star and Igor Shesterkin was not.
Do you take any stake in that, though, at all? So is Thatcher Demko. So is Thatcher Demko and not Jacob Markstrom. I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay, that's a little closer to each other than
a little bit
Campbell's
closer, but circle. I don't know, a little bit. I don't know.
Was Markstrom not hurt, though?
No, he was not hurt. But they had to pick Demko because Vancouver had nobody else that was picked. They had to have one guy from every team.
Yeah, that's true.
So, another dumb rule.
Yeah, but he deserved to be there. He's been pretty damn good this year.
Not the best goalie in the Pacific. I don't know.
Borderline.
Markstrom's been the number two star two of the last 3 weeks. I don't know. Igor Shesterkin
wasn't good. You know I'm a big Markstrom fan.
Igor Shesterkin is 26 years old.
Have you seen his save percentage?
I'm going to read him off.
Like 8 years?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, here's his last eight save percentages. 0.943, 0.954, 0.937, 0.933, 0.953, all in the KHL. Yeah. In the NHL, 0.932, 0.916, and 0.942.
Yeah, he is flirting with the best save percentage in a single season in NHL history right now.
Well, he's in second place on that.
Yeah.
Jacques
Plante. What's the highest?
0.9437, and he's at 0.9419. You know that Craig Anderson is the number three on that list?
Did not know that.
Brian Elliott's number four? Not joking. Crazy.
In a single season?
Yeah. Right now, goals against average for Shesterkin, he's fourth in the National Hockey League, 2.07. Ahead of him is Frederik Andersen at 2.06, Jeremy Swayman at 2.06, and Jacob Markstrom at 2.06. And save percentage, Igor Shesterkin leads the league at 0.938. Anderson's right behind him at 0.929. I can't help but think Toronto right now if they hit it. Wow. Oh, man. Ville Husso, 0.928, and Markstrom sits at 0.928. I don't know. And a lot of people have been saying, well, Shesterkin should be up for the Hart.
Oh, I'm right there with him.
Okay, but he should definitely be a candidate. But, I mean, he's going to be hard-pressed to win. He's going to be hard-pressed to win the Vezina.
Is he?
Well, Markstrom has more wins, has 9 shutouts.
Shutouts is a team stat.
Still? Okay, well, they name it off when you go into the Hall of Fame, don't they?
Yeah, I know. Save percentage
he's right there.
Most important stat.
He's 1 point behind him.
1 point, what's the save percentage?
He is currently at .928 and Shesterkin's .938.
That's 10 points.
That's a lot, Brad.
Okay. That's .10 points. That's a lot, Brad.
Well, evidently not a lot because there's no one really in between them besides Frederik Andersen.
No, I know that. That's what I'm saying. That's how good those three have been.
Yeah, one good night and now Markstrom's ahead of him.
It takes about... probably 4 or 5 starts.
Okay, well, we'll see.
Do the math, Brad.
I mean, you make it sound like he's going to win the Vezina for sure. You got to go on more things than just save percentage.
I think he's number one.
Well, he's probably leading Canada right now.
It would probably be Markstrom, Shesterkin, and Andersen for me. No?
Those would be the three finalists if I was voting.
Bobrovsky's been pretty good. Jari's been pretty good.
But their numbers aren't even close. I mean, Jari's pretty close.
Sorry, Leafs fans already gave it to Campbell first half of the year, so that's Campbell's award to win.
I don't know. That's going to be an interesting award. I mean, right now, if I was voting, I would vote Shesterkin. I'll bet you a freaking $100 right now though that McDavid or MacKinnon or someone like that wins the or Draisaitl or someone wins the Hart. Maybe.
He's been pretty good. He's got 45 goals.
He's been really, really good.
Did you see his goals per game? Like
they're on pace goals, above Ovechkin.
Goals per game played.
They're ahead of Ovechkin.
Like he scores a goal in .8. He almost scores a goal a game.
Oh, he's under a goal a game, but he's...
It's like .81.
Yeah, it's high.
It's like he has the two highest goals per game. Goals per game, or whatever how it is. And, like, he has the two highest since, like, 1990-something or 80-something stuff. So.
No, I think you better get your... I'm not disagreeing with you, but that's a little shady on the stats there, but...
It was something I saw it the other day. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
All right, time to go around the NHL. right. It is time. It is a time to bring back the reverse retro jerseys. Yeah, sounds like next year the reverse retros are coming back. Some teams will have some different tweaks to them. But, yeah, more reverse retros. I don't know how I feel on that. I didn't hate them, but I sure as hell don't want to get, like, baseball and basketball and have freaking different jerseys every freaking week. I hate that.
Yeah, I don't think it'll get to that point, but if they just did, like, maybe a little twist, like, one of the Oilers is leaked already.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't see it.
They might be bringing back that oil drop thing with the gear in it.
You gotta be shitting me.
That would be so sick. Huge fan of that jersey, Brad.
I don't know.
Oh, just your blood pressure's through the roof right now. You need to calm down.
Oh, it's better than their jersey they're wearing now. Those blue jerseys.
And they're also bringing back their royal blue, which is good.
Which is idiotic that they're not using that for their regular jersey.
Yeah, that navy. I don't know.
Lots of players signed extensions this week. I'll roll through them quick. McCann in Seattle, 5 years, $5 million. Rasmus Ristolainen re-signs in Philly, 5 years, $5.1 million. Pavelski inks a one-year deal, $5.5 million in Dallas. I thought that was a little high, but probably worth it.
No, he's good. He's good.
He's great. He's just getting old. And then there was talk that Jesperi Kotkaniemi had signed an 8-year deal at 4.82, but I don't have final.
And if that's the number, that's a great signing for Carolina because he's, what, 22, 23 years old?
Probably a good number for him, too. It's probably a fair deal.
To get you're getting 8 years of him, and you're paying him, like, when Kotkaniemi explodes and comes into his own, that's going to be a steal.
Yeah.
He's already a good two-way center. The goal scoring's got to come, and the consistency's got to come. But when it does, Carolina's going to get a hell of a player, and they're only going to be paying him around $4 million.
I don't think that's a bad number for him. That's job security for 8 years. I mean, I think that's kind of a win-win for both in my mind. I don't think that's a bad one at all. Now, Jack Eichel returned to Buffalo this week, and I thought that it would be a shit show, and it was. He met lots of disapproval, lots of boos, lots of chatter, and it was kind of fun to watch the Vegas Golden Knights lose to the Buffalo Sabres 3-1 last Thursday night. Were you surprised at the response to his return?
No, I don't think anybody should be surprised. I mean, he demanded for a trade out of there, and his comments were just like, I've never seen a player just living in his own world. Like, the world revolves around Jack Eichel, and woe is me, and blah, 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 look at me, oh. I've heard the place. It only took me leaving in 7 years.
His quote was, that's the loudest I've heard this place ever. It only took 7 years and me leaving for them to get into the game. I was a supporter of him during his injury. I thought Buffalo mishandled that. But after hearing this quote, it was proof to me that he's an arrogant ass. An arrogant, self-centered asshole don't win.
He's a hell of a player. But is it not telling that Vegas is 3-8-4 with him, or 3-8-3 with him in the lineup?
There's winners and there's losers. And this is a bold statement. I thought of this.
We're not saying that Jack Eichel's a bad player.
No, not at all. Not at all. But you know what? Do you ever think of this one? I was watching Colorado a lot this week.
Yeah.
Nathan MacKinnon is so good. So good. And then I look at Connor McDavid, right? And I think Connor McDavid is super good. But Connor McDavid can't win. Matthews in his cross-check at the outdoor game yesterday, as he cross-checks Rasmus Dahlin in the back of the neck, gets a 2-game suspension for it. I thought it should have been 3.
Yeah, I thought 2 is right. I said he'd get at least two. He's not a repeat offender. Cross-check right in the back. He was frustrated. I just had to chuckle at how Cousins laid him out in open ice and Leaf fans like, that's a dangerous hit.
It was clean.
Are you talking about?
So let me ask you this. So he does that to Dolin. What happens if it just connects right? Because he went at it full to the neck. It didn't hit shoulder and slip up. It was full to the neck. What happens if that cracks a bone in Dolin's neck? Is it any different than the Bertuzzi thing? Is it any different?
Oh, yeah, that's different. Bertuzzi tracked him down the whole ice, pulled him in, and suckered him in the back of the head. That's completely different. He jumped him.
Okay. Well, Stamkos jumped Monahan the other night, so Monahan goes head first in the boards and breaks his neck. Is it any different then?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like,
it's not a tough spot.
You look at this. I looked at this cross-check, and I thought it was bad. I thought it was really bad.
Yeah.
Bad at the point that if Tom Wilson would have done that, he would not be playing in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, he might have got like 10 games. I don't know.
It's crazy. I don't know. It's crazy to me. I'm glad that Dolin's all right. Two games is better than nothing. It was a dirty, dirty, dirty play.
It's time for three questions.
All right, time for three questions. Blake's turn to fire three questions at me this week.
What team outside the playoff picture has the best chance of making the playoffs?
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg? Oh, boy. You heard that on the record?
I can't even
believe they lose 9 of their next 11.
I can't even believe I said that.
Winnipeg fans, you know where to go.
Well, Winnipeg fans should love you for saying that, right?
No.
What, you don't think they don't want to make the playoffs?
You're still getting hate mail from Carolina fans.
They should love me now. I picked them. I've been pro-Carolina for 2 years.
It's going to go Carolina hate mail right to all the... Winnipeg hate mail, eh?
Winnipeg shouldn't hate me. I just picked him to make the playoffs. He should love me.
Your track record, though, hasn't been very good.
Better than yours. New Jersey?
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Go ahead, Edmonton. You picked them to win the Cup a couple years ago. I don't know.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You picked Edmonton to win the Cup. You were joking about it a couple weeks ago. Okay, question number two.
Who's under the most pressure to make a move as we enter a week before the deadline?
What team's under the most pressure?
That's number two.
Toronto.
Yeah. Think so?
For sure. They don't win in Toronto, the sun doesn't come up.
You know who I think it is?
Who?
And this is going to tie into my last question. My last question is, are the Avs done? And if not, what do they need to add? And it's going to tie into that. That's my third question. I'm going to answer the second question. I think it's Colorado because they have such a good team and they haven't gotten past the second round and they have all this talent and all this cap space now. I think they're under a lot of pressure to make a move here. And really go for it because they haven't had much success lately.
So what's wrong with this Colorado?
A lot of pressure.
What's wrong with the Colorado roster right now?
Not much, but I mean, you can always add, especially with lots of the cap space. I don't know.
You got to worry about shaking the boat up too. And I mean, I don't know. That's a scary proposition. You're screwing with a really good hockey team.
Yeah.
A really, really good hockey team.
So you wouldn't do anything?
I don't know if I'd not do anything. I think what they did today on defense is really good deal.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd touch the forwards. I don't. Now, that being said, I will almost bet you anything that Claude Giroux ends up there.
Think so?
They'll use all LTIR money. for Gabriel Landeskog and Claude Giroux steps in. And then they're both there for the playoffs. Miraculously healed.
Yep.
I'm calling it right now. It's a good hockey team. Okay. It's a good hockey team right now. And if they make a few moves, the Giroux move, I think, could either be devastatingly great or devastatingly bad or amazingly great.
Yep. Agreed.
That's kind of where I'm at there. Listener questions. One part, I added a couple parts to it. First question is, what NHL team has the best logo?
And
my answer, you're going to laugh.
Oh, you'll probably just say Chicago.
Nope, I'm not. I'm not going down that road. I like their logo.
The best. I like Seattle's logo.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad.
I like Arizona's new logo.
I hate it, but okay.
I don't mind Ottawa. They went back to their old logo.
I don't mind that logo.
Avalanche is cool.
I don't mind that one.
I don't mind San Jose.
You know what my favorite cool. You know what my favorite logo is?
Which?
I like the Columbus Blue Jackets logo.
Why?
I don't know.
I think their old logo was better.
I don't mind the Columbus. I also I've always been a big fan of the Islanders and Sabres logo.
Yeah.
I've always liked those two kind of traditional ones.
Well, the Canucks would have the best logo if they got their head out of their ass.
Yep, if they went back to the skate.
We're not at that point.
You guys need to figure your defense out first. Should the NHL go back to the old black and orange logo?
Be cool.
I'm a traditionalist, you know? Yeah. So I think part of me says, yeah, that's cool. But then I love black and silver. I love black and silver. So
yeah.
I'd vote no.
Yeah.
Did you see the new Stanley Cup playoff logo this year?
Don't know if I did.
Okay, that's your job this week, is to look that up. And then we'll talk about it on next week's show, because it's, I don't know. It's kind of plain, but not bad. Not bad. Looks like the LA Kings logo in my mind, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're preparing for the LA Kings to win, but you never know, I guess, huh? All right, hockey fans, we're back next Monday night, the 21st, and that is NHL trade deadline. That night at 9 o'clock, Blake and I will recap the entire day's moves. We'll have some moves to talk about, probably not as many as we want, but, yeah, there will be some action on trade deadline. We'll break down all the trades, tell you what teams we think made the biggest moves and who missed out on what players they needed to have success in the playoffs. One of my favorite shows of the year, each and every year. Looking forward to that one next Monday night. Enjoy this week's hockey action, and we're back next week for another hour of Hockey Talk. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey, and follow the host on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.